information continues to come out about the Fukushima thing. So much so to the point where I'm not really sure what we're supposed to do. Just pray, huh? Well, we had a shot. We could have taken the Japanese out, you know, what was that, 70 years ago? What was that, World War II? Could have just completely cleared the island off. But no, we had to rebuild them and to our own image and create an industrial economy and an advanced first world civilization over there. So much so that they didn't even follow their own regulatory advice from their own government. It was just, it was so US of A, what we did over there. When TEPCO, the Tokyo Electric Power Corporation, was not following their own protocols in regards to how they would construct their nuclear power plants in relations to, I don't know, tidal waves and tsunamis and all that other stuff. Oh, did you see that in Guinea, in Africa, they're outlawing the consumption of bats to slow the spread of the Ebola hemorrhagic fever virus? Ebola is creepy, man. 90%+ of the people that catch the virus die. And you die because it liquefies your organs?
Sounds heavy.
That sounds rough, doesn't it? I don't think they make a Tylenol for that. And Tylenol RIP, it's not like RIPM or something like that. Take two and don't worry about calling me tomorrow because there won't be one. But they're outlawing the consumption of bats by people. Would you eat bats? Can you be a vegetarian and eat a bat?
Like in a Book of Eli situation, I think maybe with the right black bean dip, I could do it.
So you're saying you dip you'd have like a crispy bat and you kind of dip them into the beans?
Well, you've got to figure when it comes down to eating.
The bats have
bats
hair. They have hair.
They're a little fuzzy.
They're mammals. They're not birds.
You'd have to make shish kebab.
You'd have to get the hair off them, right?
Well, when you held it over the fire, it would burn off.
But that's the worst. There's nothing worse than the smell of burning hair. Maybe you do like a little bat ceviche. Ceviche, and you don't even actually cook the bats. Just like a little lemon juice, AIDS, and Ebola. And there you go. Dish it right up. There's some things that culturally I would not eat. They tell you my wife went to a TED Talk at the Nelson, and they were talking about in the future we'll all eat crickets. And that the TED Talk was held simultaneously in a bunch of different cities, but the city, which I think was Manhattan, that they had the actual presenter was live. She had brought cricket cookies because they take crickets and turn them into flour. I guess they grind them up or something. And then you make baked goods out of milled bugs. And the whole TED Talk was, you know, in the future, this is what we'll eat. And that the only way that the presenter could sell the idea of eating bugs to Americans was to put them into cookies, kind of in a condescending way, you know? Americans would only eat the crickets if we turned them into Thin Mints. But I told my wife if we have to eat crickets, which I'm not going to do, by the way, I'll eat a Haitian mud cake before I'll eat cricket cookies. But if it comes down to that, if she's buying crickets to make the family dinner, I'm going to start smoking again. In the house. If you know what I'm saying? Because it really won't matter at that point. So they're talking about the big one in L.A. again.
There's some rumbling up there from that one they had.
Every time there's a little quake, and I guess L.A. really hasn't had a big quake for some time. And they've said for at least a generation that it's only a matter of time before Western California falls into the ocean. only a matter of time. Of course, this is, what do they call those? It's a foreshock or something like that, when you have tremors before the big one. But even scary, I mean, nobody's really going to be that concerned except for the people in the metropolitan LA area about the prospect of Western California, Southern California falling into the ocean. Nobody's really that concerned. But did you see that there was earthquakes? There was the largest earthquake in Yellowstone National Park since 1980. Now, for those that don't know, underneath Yellowstone National Park, there's a gigantic volcano. Probably one of the biggest volcanoes in the world. And if that sucker pops, forget about it. I mean, literally forget about it. It's done. Sayonara. I mean, Yellowstone's in Wyoming. I mean, we're not next door to it, but still, North America, see ya.
Just keep fracking.
Maybe the fracking will actually kind of relieve some of the pressure a little bit. Yeah, 4.8 magnitude earthquake rocked Yellowstone National Park near the border with Montana, USGS said. There were several aftershocks with a magnitude of over 3. Now, apparently you have, because of all the geologic activity in Yellowstone, you have earthquakes all the time, but none as large as a 4.8, which is not an incredibly large earthquake. I mean, it's definitely an earthquake that you can feel. A couple minutes after the hour of 1, right here on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Community radio in the 21st century. As we talk about the things that have been going down. Give us a call, 816-931-5534. That's 931-KKFI.
Yeah, so in California, apparently, they just recently confirmed that the levels of nuclear radiation being detected are 10 times the normal level.
Yeah.
And
there's a glowing mass of Japanese garbage the size of Texas making its way to the California coast.
15 out of 15 bluefin tuna that were tested were contaminated with radiation.
Yeah, you're not supposed to eat tuna. Everyone knows that. Unless it's off of a scantily clad Japanese girl at one of those trendy sushi bars. Let's go to the phones. 816-931-5534. 931-KKFI, you're on the radio.
Hello, this is Brother Love.
Good morning.
There was a recent incident here in KCK that involved a sword. I'm getting feedback.
Yeah? Are you talking about that involved the commissioner of Wyandotte County?
No, there was a sword-wielding, schizophrenic person that was suicidal, and KCK Police Department successfully
executed him.
This individual without incident. That is commendable, and I would really like to commend them for that. Kudos for them. They're true Americans. There was also two little girls that were caught in a house fire, and this KCK police officer successfully resuscitated both of those children with mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. I would like to say kudos to that officer. He is a true American, and we need more people like that. And you have a nice evening.
You too. And really, that's one of the few times that it's going to be acceptable for a police officer to put his mouth on children, because that is while resuscitating them. 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. That's a lot of radio. You're not supposed to eat tuna, though. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tuna's full of mercury. Apparently radioactive mercury.
The Canadian government did a little bit of testing of the seafood back in 2012. 73% of the mackerel, 91% of the halibut, 92% of the sardines, 93% of the tuna and eel, 94% of the cod and anchovies, and 100% of the carp, seaweed, shark, and monkfish tested in the Pacific Ocean had dangerous levels of radiation. So what happened, this is really funny, the Canadian government decided in the beginning of 2013...
You know what that means.
...that they were going to just stop testing the seafood.
Yeah, I'll take the chicken, is what that means. 816-931-5534. 931-KKFI, you're on the radio.
Hey, what's up?
What it is.
Cool. Anyway, no, I just wanted to make a book suggestion for you regarding Ebola. If you wanted to become more educated, it's one of the most terrifying nonfiction things I've ever read in my life.
Yeah, I don't. Does somebody really want to become more educated on the reality of the Ebola virus?
Well, if you're smart, no.
Right, exactly. Some things it's just better to not know about. But tell us the book anyway.
It's called The Hot Zone by Richard Preston. I read it back in when I was in high school, and it terrified the hell out of me.
Sure.
So, there's just so much to know about it, and there's not a whole hell of a lot you can do about it. It just takes over your body, and like you said, liquefies your organs.
Well, one of the things that you can do is not eat a bat today. You can put the bats down.
Yeah, that's wise advice.
I think the government of Guinea also recommends not eating chilled monkey brains either.
Oh, yeah, you can actually get a lot of viruses and parasites from eating any kind of brain.
Yeah, it's kind of makes me think of, eating beans and rice or something like that. I'd prefer that. I think over the chilled monkey brains.
Right on. I just wanted to give you a...
Very well, sir. We appreciate that. Hot Zone, if anyone wants to get really freaked out about Ebola.
Oh, yeah. And don't read it if you're a hypochondriac.
There's that. I think once you contract Ebola, you kind of know.
It's actually got a lot of flu symptoms, but you just get worse, not better.
Right, but as your organs start to liquefy, you know, it's a telltale sign. But we appreciate your phone call, sir. You have an excellent day, and whatnot. Being extremely paranoid about stuff like the Ebola virus. So put down the chilled monkey brains. Do not consume any wild bat. And don't eat any seafood from the Pacific, apparently. So who was testing the seafood?
The Canadian government.
Damn Canadians.
And apparently seafood from right over there in the little bay of whatever by Japan is not as contaminated as seafood from closer to our coast because of the way the currents flow. It's actually safer to eat the fish you catch in Japan right now than it is off the coast of Oregon or whatever.
I think... we might just go to Lake Tacoma later on today and get some catfish. Somebody gave up. 816-931-5534. 931-KKFI if you'd like to call into the program. Very, very disturbing information there. In regards to your health and your well-being. It's almost like you are better off not knowing anything about it whatsoever. Let's try this again. We'll give it another shot to talk to this individual. Good morning. You're on the radio. Really doesn't get it. That's okay. So if you are calling into this program for the first time, there is no call screener. When you call up, you are put directly onto the air. The type of freedom, 816-931-5534. That's 931-KKFI. So, series of earthquakes hit Yellowstone Park. Earthquakes hitting Southern California. Lots of concern there for some people. We can try this again with this individual, and then I'm going to give up on them. Really not that hard at all. Good morning. You're on the radio. I've given up on you, sir. I've given up. But I have not given up on you. 816-931-5534. 931-KKFI. So the FBI is at it again. Houston area man suspected of leading anti-government group appeared in federal court on Friday to face charges of trying to rob an armored car with explosives and plotting to blow up U.S. government buildings. Good morning, you're on the radio. Hello. A person is a genius, an absolute genius. I'm going to go with drugs and alcohol are involved with that last caller, and maybe with this caller too. 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI, you're on the radio.
Hey, Ben, it's Big Dog.
Good morning, Big Dog.
How are you guys doing?
We're wonderful. We really are.
Cool. I wanted to call in and talk about aspartame.
Okay. That's part of me?
Yes. I recently had some medical challenges in which I was visiting a doctor. He's telling me that they need to do a whole bunch of blood work and this, that, and the other thing, and I was like, nah. Anyway, I heard on Coast to Coast George Norrie's show that this guy called in and started talking about aspartame, and he called it aspartame.
Aspartame.
Yeah, okay.
It's English.
Anyway, he started talking about these symptoms, the same symptoms that I was having in my feet. Now, it was kind of the doctor was saying I had like a myopathy, diabetic myopathy, which they did a bunch of blood work and whatnot to where my hemoglobins were fine and all this, that, and the other thing. And being overweight, the doctor's concerned about diabetic condition. Well, when I heard this guy talk about the aspartame, I immediately cut it out of my diet. All the dietary drinks that I was drinking that had aspartame in it, I just cut it out. And that next day, I had no tingling, no numbness, no burning, or any type of, they equated to like a restless leg syndrome. And for the last 5 days, now this is just a couple days ago, been about 5 days now, I haven't had any symptoms whatsoever. And this guy from the George Norris show was talking about how the aspartame, he cut it out and he got better as well. And I thought you guys were talking about, you know, the radioactive stuff that's in our seafood. Well, it sounds to me like we got something else in our dietary drinks and stuff.
Well, I'm pretty sure aspartame is a known carcinogen as well. Do you know, did they talk about why we have aspartame?
No, they didn't go into any details like that at all. And I'd be curious to find out more about it, actually.
From the makers of the Iraq War.
Yeah. Well, you know, once
what?
No, absolutely. Donald Rumsfeld, when he was in between government jobs while waiting to get appointed to do something in the Reagan administration, which was essentially be an arms dealer to Saddam Hussein, was on the board of directors of a company that made pharmaceuticals called Searle, S-E-A-R-L-E. And Searle was the original patent holder for aspartame or aspartame. And he was able to use his connections within the Reagan White House to get it passed through the FDA and put into all our beverages. It's really interesting because you see a lot of things are sugar-free, and you would think, well, that's good. They're sugar-free. But in fact, they're sweetened with aspartame or saccharin or something like that. And you know, I think there are a lot of negative health effects and consequences to the overconsumption of sugar, but then also the overconsumption of, you know, these chemical sweeteners like aspartame. And it's interesting because aspartame has started to get such a negative reputation from people who are trying to be more health conscious and aware of what they're putting in their bodies. Aspartame is made from amino acids, and there is talk of changing aspartame on labels to something known as amino sweet. Well, it's the equivalent of calling high fructose corn syrup corn sugar, because high fructose corn syrup is another one of those ingredients in our foods that people are becoming, you know, aware of and realizing are not good for us.
Right. Well, it's like I spent, because I don't have Obamacare and I didn't have any insurance at the time, I spent on lab work, you know, close to $1,000.
Sure.
And then all they're wanting to do is give me some sort of pill for controlling blood sugar, saying that this will help me. And I'm like, well, how's it going to help me? You told me I'm not diabetic. Why? And he says, well, you're having this myopathy. You should, you know, consider it. And I'm like, nah, you're not sticking any chemicals in me. I didn't know, and this has been several months now, but when I heard that on George Norris' show, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. And then I got to thinking about how you and you guys have been talking about, you know, these artificial sweeteners and how they're not good. So I figured I'd call in and give you a little anecdotal.
Sure.
You know.
No, that's good. I'm glad to hear that, Big Dog. When more people realize the connection between how they feel and the way their bodies react, you know, to life, I mean, you know, mm-hmm. pains and, you know, all the aches and all these other things, they realize the connection between that and food and what we ingest in our bodies. You can either spend money, you know, on the food you put in your body or spend money on medicine and doctors to fix the problems that are caused, you know, by what we eat. And generally speaking, I think people eat way too much sugar or are expected to consume way too many sweet things, you know, which is an emotional dependence people have towards sugary drinks and sugary foods. Because I don't think it's normal to drink a large amount of soda on a regular basis, on a daily basis. I don't think it's normal. I mean, you're supposed to drink water. That's what I mean, generally speaking.
Remember, there was that promotion last year at KFC that every time you purchased a 64-ounce cup of Pepsi, they would donate $1 to the Children's Diabetes Research Foundation.
The Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, a little irony in that, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. And that's the scary part, though, is that you have kids who are growing up and are just doing what mom and dad do, which is drink large amounts of soda, and it just being one of those things where, you know, I mean, people that drink large amounts of soda are probably like, well, it's like, I don't drink beer. I don't drink whiskey all day. I'm not drinking vodka. You know, but it's this idea that it's harmless, but there's all kinds of negative side effects, consequences to the consumption of those things.
I'm here to tell you just a personal experience on the aspartame. It's not worth it.
All right. Well, Big Dog, we appreciate your phone call, man.
Take care. Yep, later.
That's because when it comes to aspartame, there are known knowns, right? Things we know that we know.
Did you know that Errol Morris, the guy that did Fog of War about Robert McNamara, you know, have you ever seen that?
He just did a movie about Donald Rumsfeld.
Can we go on a date and see that together?
Sure.
That sounds like so much fun, doesn't it?
Also, with aspartame, there's known unknowns. Things that we now know we don't know. And there's also unknown unknowns.
Here's somebody that's been smoking aspartame.
Things that we not know that we don't know.
Good morning, you're an idiot. This person can't figure it out.
Is that the old...
If your phone number starts with 612, just stop trying. Just give it up, because we've... And you know who... I'm talking about you, man.
Give it up.
You drunk.
Give it up.
Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. No, it's really, seriously, I'm sorry. If your phone number starts with 621, give it up. Because we're going to do this again. Good morning, you're on the radio.
Whoop, whoop.
Hello? Hello? That's okay. I was riding bikes with the family today. And we're going to Westport. And, you know, so I got the kids with me. So we're kind of riding on the sidewalk a little bit. It's amazing how people on cell phones are not paying attention to anything. They're not paying attention to the cars they drive. But you take them out of their cars, they're even paying less attention to what they're doing when they're walking around. I mean, I was in a line of people. It's just an example of how we're all becoming stupider. And these girls are all looking at pictures of dogs on their cell phones while we're waiting for the light to turn green. And then the light turns green, and then they all continue to look at pictures of dogs on their cell phones. Which was even funnier to me because I had my beautiful and cute children with me, and none of these girls were fawning over them. And they were all looking at pictures of a schnauzer on the cell phone, completely oblivious to other people behind them, around them, and the fact that the light was green. Turning us all into complete morons. 816-931-5534.
I certainly missed the good old days.
931-KKFI. You're on the radio.
We certainly need to eat more vegetables.
They're pretty good for us.
I think so.
And fruit.
Trees.
Are you supposed to eat? Are you a termite?
No.
You smoke good trees,
stuff,
right?
From trees. Stuff from trees. Coconuts.
Nuts.
Walnuts.
Cashews are an antidepressant.
Are they really?
Mulberries. Mm-hmm.
Cashews make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a delicious nut. You ever have cashew nut butter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Almond butter's good, too. Yeah, so I was just kind of following the trend of people calling tonight because I didn't really have anything to say, but hey, Kansas City.
Eat some more fruit.
Definitely. More nuts, too. More nuts. Stay away from aspartame and processed meat. That's my advice for the week.
All right, very well. There's your shout out.
You guys got anything to add to that?
Yeah, don't forget seafood from the Pacific.
Well, I think that just we need to have on the nutritional facts on the back of our food. We just need to have a certain what's the daily percentage of cesium-137 that you want to consume?
Less than a milligram, I'm sure.
See where I'm going, though? If we can just go here, here's the daily value. You know, this packet of Pacific cod will provide 37% of your daily value, or let's be honest here, 5,000% of your daily value of cesium-137.
Dr. Oz says we need to alkalize our bodies. Everything's acidic.
Everything that's a protein is acidic. But yeah, he did go to college, didn't he?
Everything in the fridge is acidic. You can Google it. There's a website that'll tell you the pH of everything in your fridge. It's pretty amazing. I'm trusting they're telling me the truth, but avocados and milk are about the highest in pH. But I bet your Pacific cod, you know, with a little nuclear waste in it, it's probably a 6.5-7%.
Yeah, possibly so. Possibly so. Well, we appreciate your phone call, man. You take care and have a great morning. We'll talk to you again in the future at 27 minutes after the hour of one. Excuse me. My God. This cough thing, I cannot seem to shake it. It must be my Ebola acting up. We got to play a spot, and we'll be right back with you here on Community Radio in the 21st Century.
Monday at 9 a.m. on Jaws of Justice Radio, our guest is
Dean Becker, DrugTruth.net.
And he will be talking about his new book, To End the War on Drugs, a guide for politicians, the press, and the public. And you can call in with your questions and your comments. That's Jaws of Justice Radio, Monday morning at 9 a.m., right after Democracy Now!
Thank you.
even gone down from the Gourds here a couple minutes after the bottom of the 1 o'clock hour at 1:32 right here on Community Radio in the 21st Century. 816-931-5534 931-KKFI. If you'd like to call in and have intellectually stimulating conversation. Is that what we're doing tonight? Yes, it is. It's exactly what we're doing tonight. So, Houston area man suspected of leading an anti-government group appeared in federal court on Friday to face charges of trying to rob an armored car with explosives and plotting to blow up U.S. government buildings. Okay? Here we are again, right? Robert James Talbot Jr., 38 years old, of Katy, Texas, was arrested by U.S. agents Thursday after an eight-month federal probe as he was about to rob an armored car with inert explosives provided to him by informants who had entered his group, according to a criminal complaint filed by the U.S. in federal court in Houston. Enter his group. His group was a Facebook page where he wanted to overthrow the government, and he was looking for a couple of dupes to join in. And you gotta love, here we are again, another homegrown white Al-Qaeda terror plot replete with FBI-provided informant inert explosives. I mean, it's just, we're repeating history.
Another bushy-haired stranger, you're saying?
Over and over and over again. 816-931-5534, you're on the radio. Good morning. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, boys, what's going on? This is Uncle Fester.
What up?
What up, Fester?
Oh, I'm just sitting here with my guns and my Bible thinking about overthrowing the government. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Don't get excited.
Yeah, you hear that knock at the door? The FBI is there with a bunch of inert explosives. They want you to.
Brother, you know, I wait for them every night. You know, I'm just waiting for them every night. I keep expecting them to show up any minute now. But hey, you know, talking about Fukushima, man, this is interesting because it's amazing that nobody covers this. You know, I mean, it's, you know, these cores are just sinking down into the earth. You know, spewing radiation into the groundwater, and it's like, you know, radiation. What radiation? But
I mean, it's pretty amazing how those melted cores, you know, this superheated radioactive metal is literally just burning itself deeper and deeper into the Earth's crust.
Right.
I mean, it's mind-boggling. It really is.
It really is. But I tell you, you know, I've been doing this. I got to tell you, you know, I'm a kind of an apocalyptic kind of guy. So I've been studying this kind of stuff for like, man, I don't know, 20, 25 years. So, but there are a couple things you can do. You know, I feel kind of bad because I got a house full of cats, and I like to give them something besides chicken and turkey. So I like to feed them the tuna and trout. You know, and now I can't even feed my damn cat food without worrying about giving them radiation sickness. You know, it's pretty sad, but. I have discovered there are a couple things you can do that remove radiation from the body. And one, believe it or not, are one food that you can eat that helps do that are mushrooms, believe it or not. And there's another thing that I take. I'm kind of into the whole natural healing thing.
Sure.
And there's this product out there that I probably shouldn't mention, but I will. It's called MetaCleanse, and it's... when you get to be my age, you know, you take stuff with a lot of, you know, like fiber drinks and stuff like that. I'm 55, and actually a buddy turned me on to it, and I copied their recipe. I called up, and I kind of picked their brain. And basically what it is, it's psyllium husk and flaxseed, but the secret ingredient is something called bentonite clay, or what's known as Wyoming bentonite, and it's basically food-grade clay.
Right. And now, it absorbs toxins when it's inside your body.
That's right, and it also absorbs and binds radiation, along with bacteria and viruses and all kinds of fun stuff. Basically, anything that hits that clay becomes inert and is passed. It's amazing stuff, and you can buy it for next to nothing on, Amazon or wherever, you know, wherever you want to get it. You can get like a 5-pound bag for, I don't know, $20 or something. Right. But you mix that, and it's like 10 to 1. You mix that with the psyllium husk and the
Flaxseed?
Flaxseed, yeah, at a 10-to-1 ratio, the one ratio being the bentonite clay, and just shake it up in a bag real good, and throw it down. I mix it with a little bit of orange Metamucil because it's like drinking a glass full of gravel.
Kind of sounds like it.
Yeah, but you get used to it. You know, the first week it was rough. I mean, it's like second nature to me now. So no big deal. But you know, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. You know, these people want to poison the planet with radiation. And you know what? By the way, not to get real religious on you, you know, but you know, the Bible talks about, you know, a third of the waters being poisoned. And here's something interesting. You know, I found out when I was working, when I was doing security work about 15 years ago. You know what Chernobyl translated literally means wormwood. The Bible talks about wormwood coming down, making a third of the waters bitter, and the women wouldn't be able to nurse their children. You know, all the waters becoming bitter, and the Bible says it's a third of the, you know, a third of the waters become bitter, and all, you know, everything dies. And now they're saying the Pacific Ocean, you can't hardly find any life in it. People sail across it, and there's nothing.
I read that article as well. There was a guy who had made the same trek across the Pacific, and he said that the last time he did it, there was nothing. He saw no signs of life. I thought that was quite amazing. I don't know if that's hyperbolic or what it is.
But they're saying that they're saying the seals in Alaska are bleeding. You know, the fish are bleeding the gills, and the seals are, you know, bald spots, and you know, the polar bears and bleeding from the eyes. And I mean, you know, this is just an absolute catastrophe. I think that people are just, you know, absolutely. I mean, there's just a complete media blackout on this. And the reason the Japanese don't want any help is because if they had any help and people went under, the Russians offered to help them. And TEPCO is not an engineering firm. TEPCO is a damn electrical utility.
Sure.
They're not in any way, shape, or form qualified to be handling this. But they don't want anybody else to come in because if somebody else came in, the truth might get out about what an absolute freaking disaster. I mean, this is almost like an extinction-level event. And nobody's reporting on it. It's absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah, I get the sense of what you just said by listening to some people talk about this and thinking about it myself. I just hope, you know, I hope that it's not true.
Well, I hope it's not either. I mean, you know, I doubt that it is. I doubt it's an extinction level event, but it's not good. By any measurement, it's not good.
Well, and even bigger as far as concerns go, you know, that was one nuclear power plant halfway around the world.
Right.
If you think about the possibility of there being a loss of electricity through a an electromagnetic pulse or some sort of solar event or just general, you know, problems with the American electrical grid, infrastructural issues, and we were to have other nuclear plants in this country or nuclear plants in this country melt down for whatever reason, they're everywhere. And the safeguards that are in place, I'm sure the Federal Electric Regulatory Commission has, you know, some safeguards. I'm sure it's not just a complete and total apathetic free-for-all. I'm sure there's some protocols in place, but the reality's got to be that, you know, I mean, we're a breath away, a heartbeat away from one of those nuclear reactor meltdowns happening in America.
Oh, yeah, and, well, you know, and I personally live for the day that the lights go out, but that's another story. But, you know, I was reading somewhere.
No, I hear you there. I mean, that's a fantasy that a lot of people have. But if that were to happen, you got to realize that we'd all die from radiation poisoning within 6 months.
Well, here's what, look, those exact type reactors, those are GE reactors, right, that they've got in Japan. And those exact, and the design of those reactors is they build them so the storage, where they store the spent fuel rods, are actually on top of the reactor, right? They put the cooling pools on top of the reactor. Pure genius, absolute pure genius. Thank you, General Electric. But there's about, I can't remember the exact number, somewhere I think between 15 and 25 of those right around Illinois, Missouri, Tennessee, all over the New Madrid fault line. You could potentially see 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15 of those go up in a 7 or 8 magnitude earthquake, you know, which thankfully the airflow would be towards the East Coast. Goodbye, East Coast, you know, but.
I mean, it couldn't be good for us either. I mean, you say the lights would be out, but we'd all be glowing, you know.
Well, you know, personally, I mean, you know, if it's going to be the apocalypse, I'm rooting for grid down, zombie apocalypse. I mean, that's what I want.
Sure.
If I had my personal preference, grid down zombie apocalypse. Absolutely, hands down. That's, you know, that gets my vote. But
well, Uncle Fester, a man with, you know, clenching his guns and Bible should expect none or desire nothing else.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But I wanted to partake that little bit of wisdom onto you guys and maybe save you from a little radiation sickness there. And so I guess I'm gonna
go get myself a bag of bentonite clay tomorrow.
Hey, it's called Best Bentonite. I think you can find the guy on Amazon, and he even gives you a couple pounds extra if you buy a certain amount. So there you go. There's your hot tip for the night, buddy.
All right, man. You have a good day.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye. 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. I mean, I guess we could learn to – we could adapt, right? You know, I mean, my first three children would be normal, and my next three would be, you know, glow-in-the-dark. And, you know, I would imagine superhuman, right? Like 10-foot-tall toddlers, that kind of thing. You know, they say in the woods around Chernobyl that there's lots of plant life, there's lots of animal life. Some of it has a bit of, because, you know, there's an exclusion zone around Chernobyl. Lots of life around Chernobyl. Some of it has, you know, some genetic anomaly. But they say that the wild boar, you know, who are seemingly healthy, have extremely high levels of radiation. And some of these wild boar, because Chernobyl's in the Ukraine, by the way. Ukraine's something that's been very much so in the news as of late. But there are still animals there. Those animals have high levels of radiation, but life still persists. Life is an amazing thing. But like Uncle Fester was saying, you think about all the nuclear reactors just by the New Madrid fault line. I mean, if that thing were to pop again. The last time there was a big New Madrid earthquake was the early part of the 1800s of the 19th century. That earthquake was so massive that the Mississippi River ran backwards for a week. And
really?
Church, yeah. You've never heard that before? And church bells were ringing as far away as Boston.
Wow.
It was a big one. All right, let's try this again. 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI, you're on the radio. Good morning. Bueller. No, nobody's there. Nobody at all. 931-5534, 931-KKFI. And could you imagine the Mississippi River running backwards at this point? I mean, all that stuff from, I mean, the Mississippi's got all that agricultural runoff. You get all the way down to Louisiana. You have all that industry that's, you know, the what they call Cancer Alley, closer to New Orleans. To have all that stuff flowing backwards. Have, you know, the dead zone that's at the mouth of the Mississippi running backwards up through the middle of America. It would not be pretty. It would be bad news. I mean, everyone deep down inside, I don't know what that is about people, has a little Uncle Fester zombie apocalypse fantasy. Right, Jesse? Doesn't everyone have a little zombie apocalypse fantasy going on? Electrical grid
the
shuts down.
The kind of
down.
People we know, yes.
Don't have to worry. Well, right, that's a good point. Essentially, the type of people who would be up at this time listening to this program would have that zombie apocalypse fantasy thing going on just a little bit. But you have to realize that if that were to happen, if there were to be an electromagnetic pulse, if there were some big solar event that shut down the electrical grid, I mean, it would have to be something along the lines of what happened in Fukushima, but it would be, you know, multiplied, you know, 50 times. I mean, how many nuclear power plants are there in the United States of America? I mean, there's a good amount. And the first place to go, because a lot of them are on the East Coast, be bye-bye East Coast. You don't have to wait for global warming and the Greenland ice sheet to slide off into the North Atlantic to flood out Boston, Norfolk, Virginia, and New York City. I mean, it would just get obliterated from the radiation. radiation sickness, you know, the infection of radiation or the contamination of radiation in the thyroid and the cancers that it creates and the burns and the just the pollution of radiation in your body has got to be one of the scariest things possible. Because it's not like you see it. You know, it's kind of metaphysical almost in a way. Now we know that it's very real. And we generally understand how it works. But the way that nuclear particles are just shooting off of these radioactive elements and they just penetrate right through your skin, I mean, it's a little tense. It's a little heavy. I mean, not as, I mean, it's got to be probably one of the number one things you could get freaked out about. I would not be freaked out about Robert James Talbot Jr., 38 years old, of Katy, Texas, even though the FBI would like you to be freaked out about lunatics from Texas who have Facebook pages who want to overthrow the government. Look, Losertown, if you don't have friends that you can meet up with to disassemble and polish guns with, then you're probably not going to take over or overthrow the government. Do you know what I mean? You kind of have to have your own people for that. Can you just have a Facebook, you know, a Google Hangout where you guys, like, overthrow the government? It doesn't work like that, does it? I mean, if you're going to rob an armored car with explosives, you know, make sure that you didn't get inert explosives from an FBI informant. I mean, this is really who we're supposed to be concerned with. I mean, how many times in the last 14 years, 13 years, have we had the story of the big fat loser getting on the internet, going to a chat room, saying that they hate their lives and they hate this country and all they want to do is exact some sort of violence or terrorism or whatever upon the jocks in high school or whatever insecure mentality it is. And the FBI is right there with a handful of inert weapons and FBI informants. And hell, sometimes they use real agents to just ensure that the budget for the FBI will increase year after year. And we can pretend like the FBI is keeping us safe, or the Department of Homeland Security is keeping us safe from a make-believe and existential threat in terrorism. Terrorism has existed since the beginning of time. It's using violence to try to change somebody's opinion on something. To think that's a unique concept to the time we live in right now is ridiculous. And to also think that there's any real threat of the overthrow. I mean, you know, the United States of America has nothing to fear but itself. And it's always been like that. And it probably always will be just like that. Yeah, right after. Huh. 816-931-5534. 931-KKFI. As Guinea battles to contain Ebola as Senegal closes its border. I don't know, Ebola or radiation poisoning? Thyroid cancer or hemorrhagic fever? Well, right, that's why everyone should have, you know, the retirement policy, or the retirement plan of the road. What would you call that? The two-round retirement plan? Exit strategy? It's an exit strategy is really what it is.
Carve your initials in them?
A two-piece exit strategy, one for you and one for your family member. And if you don't know what I'm talking about the, you know, the suicide solution. Because if it comes down to either radiation poisoning or Ebola, I might just choose the 40 cal. might just be easier that way. But that's not really my style. I'm not a writer. Yeah, is that do you think that's true? You really have to be a writer. It could be prose, it could be poetry, it could be songs or whatever it is. Isn't that really the only acceptable way to suicide yourself? I mean, nobody's going to go like the talk show host that killed himself. That was fitting. That's just kind of sad. But when Hemingway shot himself in the face, people were like, yeah, that kind of made sense. And it's not like people discounted his authorships after that. All his books. You know, when Kurt Cobain shot himself in the face, everyone's like, well, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Right? But talk show host shoots himself in the face? That's just sad. Isn't it? Just depressing. Because everyone would be like, he just wanted to be something more than a talk show host. He had so much potential. And he wasted it all on radio. And then he shot himself in the face. It wouldn't make me a cult hero. I guess, of course, what we're talking about is shooting yourself in the face when you have two choices, I guess ultimately three, but two choices left before you. One is Ebola and one is radiation poisoning. And then you have the third way, the exit strategy. The high velocity lead exit strategy.
Otherwise known as chick, chick, boom.
Is that how it's known? Mm-hmm. I'm having fun with cell phones with this person. Yeah, they can't do it. They can't seem to make it work. Not a difficult concept. They're desperately trying to get down to knuckleheads before last call. And they need directions. They need directions to knuckleheads. If your phone number starts with 621, you need to give it up. You need to stop trying to call the radio station. It's not working out for you. See? Watch this. Yet again. Good morning. You're on the radio. Hello? Bueller? Like I said before, I'll say it again. I give up. Go look at the other stories that we're talking about. ParagonRadio.blogspot.com. Wow. Check this story out. Fecal transplants backed for bowel infections. They're doing this in the UK where people are taking fecal matter and having it transplanted into their butts. Because people's digestive tracts are so messed up. You know, a healthy person is supposed to have 10 pounds of bacteria in their gut. The flora and fauna of your digestive tract, 10 pounds. And these bacteria have a symbiotic relationship with you in that they help you digest your food and process all the vitamins and minerals, etc. Now, because of the overuse of antibiotics, we're getting to a point where people have killed off so much of their gut bacteria that they're just chronically, I mean, it's fatal. I mean, it's essentially fatal. If that 10 pounds of bacterial flora and fauna, bacterial gut is killed off, that gut bacteria, you die. You can't live. You'll die. If you sanitize your intestines, you will be dead. But because people have been doing that through antibiotics and heavily processed foods now for generations, because you get that original gut bacteria, you get it from your mama. You know that when you're born, you know, these bacterias, you get them from, you know, your mom kisses you, get little kisses from your mama, and her little, you know, bacteria in her saliva colonize the bacteria in your intestines. And same thing with the breast milk and all that other stuff. Yeah, now a lot of people don't even breastfeed and, you know, have all this antibiotic usage. And you have these people with these chronically ill people who've taken so much antibiotics that they have put their guts so out of balance that now they're doing fecal transplants. Transplanting feces from one person to another sounds like no fun, but can help patients suffering from serious bacterial gut infections. The procedure can restore beneficial bacteria in a person with an overabundance of Clostridium difficile. This is all according to the United Kingdom's National Institute for Healthcare and Excellence. It doesn't sound pleasant, but evidence shows that it's safe and effective. Now, there's two ways that they can do this. They can either give it to a patient after the loaner feces or the donor feces has been diluted with fluid. They don't say what kind of fluid, just diluted with fluid. They can either pass it through a fine tube threaded through the nose and into the gut, or just insert it right into the anus. What would you go for? Would you take the diluted feces through the nose through a fine threaded tube, or would you like to have the feces inserted right into your anus?
That's tough.
Not really. I don't think so. I don't think there's really much of a question there. I think everyone knows what you're supposed to do there. 81% of those who received an infusion of feces from a healthy donor after treatment with the antibiotic vancomycin were cured. That compared with only 31% of those treated with the drug alone. So you have to have this drug, and then, you see, this is all in the wrong direction. Has anyone heard of the paleo diet? There's a diet out there you're supposed to eat like a caveman. It's like essentially the hunting and gathering diet. That diet is based upon increasing healthy bacteria in the gut bacteria. Because that's part of why everyone is so many people have so many issues, you know, with their digestion, which leads to health issues of immune suppression and all the other complications that come from being generally unhealthy.